Well, we've been considering the let-us's of, not lettuces, let-us's of Hebrews chapter 10, and we see because we have confidence to enter into the true presence of God by a new and living way, which Christ inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, we are to do three things in particular. We are to draw near, let us draw near. We also are called to hold fast, let us hold fast. And now we see, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So we are to consider or take care, to commit to thought to this topic. We're to spend time thinking and praying and then actually doing it. What are we to consider? It's this, how to stimulate one another to good deeds. It's provoking one another. I think it was maybe possibly being used in an ironic way. Quite possibly there are people provoking people to not persevere by all their questions about the Old Testament rituals, etc. And quite possibly there are disagreements and struggles in these churches, and the author of Hebrews is pointing out the wrongness in the provocation in their midst and is encouraging, listen, if you're going to provoke one another into action, you might as well provoke one another in a good way. And what are they to provoke them unto? What are they to instigate? Number one, to love, to have a genuine sacrificial love for one another in the church. So if you're going to provoke one another, provoke yourselves to love in the church. We ourselves need to be loving. And number two, we want to encourage others to be loving. We're to be speaking to one another in a way which is kind and promoting a loving, gentle, kind, edifying atmosphere. We're to be doing, we're to be serving and praying. And also we're to provoke one another unto good deeds. You could say these good deeds are the fruit or evidence of the love, to be serving one another, to allow one another to serve, to be transparent. There are no lone cowboys or cowgirls in the church. We need each other. We can share our struggles and our needs so that we can serve one another. Also, it happens by not forsaking our own assembling together. So what does the church gather together for? Well, Acts 2:42 says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So you're not to forsake an altogether leaving of the church. You're also practically in another way. You're to be committed to being a part of the church. We dare not miss a practice or a doctor's appointment or work or hobby or funeral or Super Bowl or a World Series or a meal, and yet we can be so prone to missing a gathering together of the people of God. That is a very sad state to be in as a follower of Christ, one who loves Christ. And he mentions that, as is the habit of some. Al Mohler says this, those who neglect assembling together cut themselves off from the very means whereby Christ feeds, assures, and protects his people. You don't want this to be a habit of yours. It doesn't mean necessarily that you'll make, every single Sunday in a year, but it means you're committed to being at church, to gather together. It's not a habit to miss. And rather, you're encouraging one another. So we can't be encouraging one another to love and good deeds, nor can to hold fast, nor to draw near if we aren't together in the first place. So we as believers are responsible for one another, to be encouraging one another. So consider yourself. Are you one to whom other members of the church can turn to and look for encouragement? Because you're actually there. Can they look to you because you have a loving attitude and disposition towards them? Are you gentle in spirit and kind-hearted towards them? Do you show goodness in the way in which you live? And all of this is to be done as we see the day drawing near. What is our reason or encouragement to do all of these things? Jesus the groom is coming back. And we are his bride. Where would you like to have your priorities? In the very thing which Christ is returning for, or in the temporal pleasures in this world, or even in the very things which Christ gave his life for, sin? You have a choice, and you know the right answer, and you need to decide. So let us consider one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to serve one another, and to gather with one another.